this evening, and we trust that when our service to our Lord in worship today has concluded, that God will be pleased with us. When we stand to sing the next song that has been announced at the conclusion of our lesson, we're trusting and hoping that if there are those who are in our midst who need to respond to the Lord in any way, that you would take advantage of that time and do so before it's everlasting and eternally too late. I want to continue tonight to encourage us from a lesson dealing with another lady who was a mother. Again, as we, on this day, as it has been slated some years ago as Mother's Day, we want to say something, because God says a lot about women, a lot about mothers, and certainly we want to take this time tonight, or this evening, to again say something about a mother. To the same chapter that we were studying from this morning, 2 Kings chapter 4, I want to begin with the first part of the chapter and deal with it tonight for our lesson. As we talk about the reward of a mother's faith. Talked about faith of a mother this morning to some degree, and again tonight we're going to see another lady who exemplified so much trust in God Almighty. There are so many things that a wonderful mother can teach us. And one of the greatest things we can learn from a godly mother is how to have an active faith in God. We said something about an active faith to some degree this morning when we were talking about what James said, that faith without works is dead. When one hath faith but no works, that's not an active faith. But an active faith is one that coupled the belief or the trust they have with the works, that is, in doing things according to the will of God. Timothy had a mother. We're all familiar with his mother and his grandmother, who gave him a great legacy of faith. Paul remembered their faith in 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse number 5. And he said the same faith that was in his mother and his grandmother, that he was persuaded that it was also in young Timothy. Well, another such mother is found in Old Testament times. And this mother is, unnamed. She is referred to only as a certain woman. In 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 1, the Bible refers to her as a certain woman. It is this certain woman that teaches us so much about trust in God. And I want us tonight to observe a few lessons that we learn from her. So in looking in verse number 1, the Bible teaches us that it says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." One thing I want us to notice about this mother, as we develop this topic again, the rewards of a mother's faith. She had a husband. Of course, she was a widow now, but she had a husband And she makes this statement about her husband, that he feared the Lord. You know, it's a good thing to have a husband that fears the Lord. It's a good thing to have a wife that fears the Lord. When you have a husband and when you have a wife, that is, when you have them coupled together that fear the Lord, they can help each other in their quest to please the Almighty God. This lady, she says, my husband is dead, but he feared the Lord. Black precious faith is a plus in any relationship. Even when you got two co-workers that fear the Lord, that's a plus. When you have two friends that fear the Lord, that's a plus. When you have two of anybody that fear the Lord, that is a plus. That was a plus in this lady's life. She had a husband that feared the Lord. And I pass this off to, again, those of you who are not married. Whether you are male or female, it's always good to look for somebody that fear the Lord. Her husband is now dead, but this lady still holds on to her faith. And the reason why I know she holds on to her faith is because she cries out to the Lord. And as we'll talk about a little bit later, some things that the Lord instructed her to do, and she did what the Lord said do. So she held on to her faith, even though her husband was dead. I've said this time and time again before, that sometimes people have a tendency, and I've heard about in certain instances where people gave up on the Lord when they lost a close loved one. But here is this lady. She didn't give up on the Lord. We know she didn't give up on the Lord because she's now here talking to the Lord. And the Lord, again, as I've said, will instruct her to do some things, and she does what the Lord tells her to do. But so she didn't give up on the Lord. It's sort of like the Shunammite lady that we talked about this morning. I believe she also had some of that "it is well" faith. Even though my husband is dead, it's well. I'm going to still trust in the Lord. You remember Job in a similar situation when all of his 10 children were killed. And he had lost everything that he had as far as his material possessions. Job didn't give up on the Lord. In chapter 1 of Job, chapter 2 of Job, his wife wanted to give up on the Lord, but not Job. You know how she said it over there in chapter 2. Are you going to still trust in God? Are you going to still maintain your integrity? God has allowed all of this to happen to you. All of our children are dead. All of our possessions are gone. Are you going to still maintain your integrity in the Lord? Well, in Job chapter 1, after that last messenger came to him and said, I only have escaped. And the last messenger was the one that told him that all of your sons and daughters, they were at this particular house, and the house fell in on them, if you will, and they all did. Job said this in Job chapter 1 and verse number 20 and 21. Listen to what he said. The Bible says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and did what? Worshipped. I've had the occasion to even refer to this passage sometimes when I talk about sometimes people say, well, I can't go to church today, or I can't go to church this week because I've just lost my loved one. Here's a man still, he's lost 10 of his children, all 10 of them. And he says, I'm going to church. He falls down and he worships. And the Bible says, continues to read, and he says this, And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. He says, blessed be the name of the Lord. The point that I'm driving home is that Job had a similar faith that this lady had. Her husband was dead, but she didn't give up on the Lord. She maintained her integrity, her faith in the Lord. Job lost all of his children, but he still stayed close to God. So she says now in verse number one, the first part of it, my husband, he's dead. He's dead. But then when we go back to that verse in verse number one, notice something else that she says down here. Look at it again. She says, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. In other words, her husband, or they, maybe both of them, but at least the husband, owed a debt. And it was now time for the creditor, the one that the husband, or the both, owed the debt to, it was time for him to come and to collect the debt. And he came, and she says, he's ready now to take my sons as bondmen. She recognized and she realized that I have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to take care of the debt. So another good lesson we learned from this lady, as we talk about this lady that is going to be rewarded because of her faith, she did not neglect her responsibility. You know, oftentimes when people get in debt, they have a tendency to want to run away from the debt. You know, they make the debt. It's easy to make a debt, but sometimes it's not so hard or not so easy to pay the debt, but you still need to pay your debt. And the law required people to pay their debt. But of course, there were certain circumstances where the law gave leniency, if you will, if a person couldn't pay the debt. But sometimes folks can pay the debt, Brother Willie, and just refuse to pay it. And one of the things that the law established is found in Leviticus chapter 25, in verses 39 through 40. The Bible says this, and if thy brother, and in the book of Leviticus deals with how to deal with their brethren and the various laws and the various things that they were to follow, and particularly in this section, it's talking about how to deal with your fellow Israelite. And he says, now if thy brother that dwelleth by thee be waxing poor, he's poor now, he has entered into a state of poverty, he can't pay the debt, and be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bond servant. Now you notice what the lady said. The lady said, the creditor has come to take my sons as bondmen or bond servants. Now the law says, you should not compel him to serve as a bond servant. But what you really should do is found in the next verse. The Bible says, but as an hired servant. There's a difference between a bond servant and a hired servant. You see, a bond servant is one who is, as we would term it, really enslaved. But a hired servant is one that works for wages, and he go home and he comes back tomorrow and he works for some more wages. So he says, you should not, if he owes you something, and if you wax poor, if you're in poverty, you can't pay the debt, he says that he can get this person as a hired servant, but not as a bond servant. And as a sojourner, he shall be with thee and shall serve thee until the year of Jubilee. And the year of Jubilee came of every 25 years. And after the year of Jubilee, then he would be let free. But the point of the matter is that she knew that she owed a debt. and something needed to be done to take care of this debt. And she recognized that the creditor was not going to do the right thing because he wanted to take them as bond men or as bond servants and not as hired servants. But still, she recognized that she had a responsibility. And she didn't want to neglect her responsibility. God wants us today to be responsible, as I've said. As a matter of fact, the only debt he says that we're to owe is to love one another. Romans 13 and verse 8. So recognizing then that she had this responsibility to take care of this debt, now her faith comes into action. She sought help from the man of God. Going back to verse number 1 again, you notice it starts off by saying, "There cried a certain woman." She is talking to God. Crying out to God. Because she recognized and realized what situation she's in. And she's about to lose her son because the creditor is not going to do the right thing. And she goes to God. And she talks to God. And I want to say to us tonight, brothers and sisters, that that's always the right place to go. Is to go to God. Don't try to figure out for yourself and by yourself what you're going to do. You need to rely upon God. God will help us. And his word helps us. It's no wonder that the proverb writer said, and we know it so well, I'm sure, in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says this, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding." She could have probably come up with some other means to try to devise some other means to take care of her responsibility. But she didn't try to devise some other means. She said, "I'm going to God. I'm going to God." So the Bible says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths." We need to rely upon God. We need to seek help from God. And as I said this morning, the man of God, Elisha, that was there, represented the word of God. And we need to rely then upon the word of God. And the word of God has the answer for all of our problems. It tells us how to take care of the situations in our lives. We need to apply it in our lives. The word is our guide. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. We know this one so well, I'm sure, where Paul said to Timothy there, after he had said in verse 15, "And from a child I have known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make you wise unto salvation." He says, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work." I want to say to us again tonight, or this evening, to allow the Lord to be our guide, to allow the Lord to be our shepherd. How oftentimes have we recited, no doubt, the 23rd Psalm, but one of the things that the 23rd Psalm says, I wonder, do we really take it seriously and honestly? The first three verses of the 23rd Psalm says this, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sakes. Are we willing to fast? Are we willing, rather, to follow the path that he leads us in? This lady evidently was willing to follow the path that the Lord would lead her in taking care of her responsibility. That's why she cried out unto the Lord. Yes, allow the Lord then to be our shepherd. Now we're going to truly see her faith come into action. In verse number 3 of our text, the man of God, this is what he says. In essence, she cries to God, to the man of God, and really want to know what to do. Now here's the answer. Then he said, "Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few." You know what that last phrase means? Borrow as many as you can. Borrow a plenty of them. Borrow a whole bunch of them. from all your neighbors, she says. And the reading continues in verse number 4. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into the all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. And the next verse says, so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Now, before we go to the next verse, I want to make a comment here. What was the instruction? The instruction was to go and borrow from all of her neighbors plenty vessels. Plenty vessels. And she does this, and she borrows these plenty vessels, but that says something about her. I believe that she had somehow made an impression on her neighbors, that they were willing now to give up all of their vessels to this lady. Because if she wasn't too good of a lady, or if they didn't know too much about her, even in this day and time, we know that to be the case. People don't want very much to do with you if they don't know much about you. But she sent out and borrowed all of these vessels. A lesson that we can learn from that is that people are watching us, and people know about us. And we ought to live in such a way that even if we get in a strait or have difficulty, somebody's willing to come to our aid because they know the type of person we are. So she goes out and she borrows these vessels. She shut the door and did just what the man of God says. That's an act of faith. She didn't do again. She didn't rely upon her judgment. She didn't try to figure it out for herself. She went to the man of God. The man of God told her what to do. She did what the man of God said. She was not like some people today. Well, I know it says this, but I just can't trust that. I know it says that, but I just can't trust that. She didn't know what to do. The man of God told her what to do. She did what the man of God said. That shows faith in action. And as a result of that, verse number 7 says this. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, go and sell the... Well, let's go back. Go back to... We need to read verse 6. And it came to pass when the vessels were full. All them plenty vessels. I don't know how many it were, but it was a plenty. It was not a few. It was a plenty of vessels that she had borrowed. The Bible says when she did what the man of God said, that all the vessels were full. That she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. In other words, I got some left over. I need somewhere to pour this. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Now verse 7. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and do what? Pay thy debt. What was her struggle? What was her dilemma? What was her problem? She owed a debt. She knew she was supposed to pay a debt. She knew the creditors weren't going to do the right thing by coming and taking her sons as bondmen and not bond servants. So she goes to the man of God so that she can get some instruction as to how I'm going to take care of this debt. The man of God told her what to do. She did what the man of God said. And he said, now go and sell the oil and you can clear up your debt. And not only will you clear up your debt, but he says, and live thou and thy children of the rest. You know what that tells me? That was a lot of oil left over. After she had taken care of her debt, she says, you got enough now here to take care of your children and yourself. The point is that she was rewarded for her faith. Her need was met. Because of her faith, she was blessed. And it's very likely that she was able to bless somebody else. Because she had a plenty of oil left. So not only could she sell it to pay the debt, but she could sell it now to get whatever other money that she needed to buy other things with. The oil was there. God provided it for her. You got a plenty of it to take care of you, to take care of your children. Why? Because you trusted in me and you did what I told you to do. Now I'm going to take care of you. No wonder Jesus says in Matthew 6 and verse 32, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided unto you. When we do what God says, God will take care of us. The lady did what God said, and God took care of her. She no longer had to worry about the debt. As I conclude then tonight, genuine faith always has its rewards. Great things can happen when we exercise it in our lives. And perhaps the Lord is waiting to see our faith. If we are struggling, maybe we hadn't shown the Lord the right type of faith yet. The Lord wants to see our faith. You remember the story in Mark chapter 5? About the first five or six verses there where the man that was sick of palsy, and these four men brought him to Jesus, and they couldn't get him in at the door because of the crowd, and they went up on the housetop and broke up the roof and let him down. And the Bible says when he saw their faith, then he said to the man of the palsy, arise and walk. What happened when he saw their faith? Their faith was an active faith. They didn't say that, well, we know Jesus is there. We believe that he's there. So we just believe it. Like a lot of folks say today, just believe. You believe. It's good to believe, but you got to put some action with your belief. They put some action with their belief, and the man was healed. The lady put some action with her trust in God. She did what the man of God said, and God blessed her. Christ saw the faith of the four men when he was brought to Jesus. This certain woman then, who was a widow, teaches us what great faith is all about. I trust that this lesson tonight, as well as this lesson this morning, will motivate us to be great women, as we talked about this morning, or great men, or boys or girls, whatever the case may be. And that we will also be people of great faith, like this widow tonight. So much faith that even though in difficulties of life, we don't give up on God, but we put our faith into action, and God will always reward us. So if you're here tonight, you're subject to the call of the gospel. We hope and trust that you want to put your faith into action by believing in Jesus as the Son of God and repenting of your past sins and confessing your faith in Christ Jesus, and then being baptized in water for the remission of sins. And when you do that, the Lord will reward you. He will reward you by adding you to the church of Christ. And if you live faithful unto death, he will reward you again by giving you a home in heaven. Jesus has gone away to prepare that place. And he's coming back to receive those who have had an active faith in their lives unto death. He's going to take them back to be with him. I want to be with him, don't you? I believe we all want to be with him when he goes back to the Father. But in order to do that, we got to have an active faith. In order to be rewarded for our faith, it's got to be active. So I want to encourage you tonight to have an active faith and obey the Lord if you haven't. If you already have obeyed the Lord, but somehow maybe your faith is not as active as it should be. Maybe you're doing some things that are not pleasing in the sight of God. Maybe that you're not really strong as you ought to. Whatever the case may be, we want to encourage you tonight to renew your efforts. And if you need to repent and confess of an erring way, we want to encourage you to come. If you need prayer, we want to encourage you to come. Whatever your need is, baptism, confession, or prayer, whatever the need is, while we stand, while we sing, will you come?
Son of Jesus the Nazarene, and he'll never be all he shall love.